I'm going to be tonight, as I'm wondering what to preach on, it just seemed to me that it's most appropriate just to delight together in the gospel. And so if you have your Bible, if you turn to the book of Hosea, that's in your Old Testament. If you're not quite sure, just look for Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. They're large books. And then make your way towards the New Testament, and you'll find tucked right behind Daniel, the book of Hosea. And I'm going to read the first few verses of chapter 1, and then we're going to go to chapter 3. This is the word of the Lord, Hosea chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea the son of Beeri in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take to yourself a wife of whoredom, and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, "Call his name Jezreel, for in just a little while I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. And on that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." She conceived again and bore a daughter. And the Lord said to him, "Call her name No Mercy. For I will no more have mercy on the house of Israel to forgive them at all. But I will have mercy on the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Lord their God. I will not save them by the bow or by the sword or by war or by horses or by horsemen." When she had weaned No Mercy, she conceived and bore a son. And the Lord said, "Call his name Not My People, for you are not my people and I am not your God." And then if you turn to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. "And the Lord said to me, 'Go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins.' So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a lethek of barley. And I said to her, 'You must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore or belong to another man. So will I also be to you. For the children of Israel shall dwell many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or pillar, without ephod or household gods. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. And they shall come in fear to the Lord and to his goodness in the latter days.'" Let's ask the Lord to bless his word. Father, now we come relying completely upon the Holy Spirit, who alone is able to allow me to speak and to give ears so that we might hear the voice of our Savior, our Shepherd. We pray, O God, that we would tonight delight in that voice and receive his truth with eager hearts. May we be comforted and convicted and challenged and transformed by the power of the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think the story that we have in front of us tonight is one of the most shocking, scandalous, embarrassing, and beautiful stories in the whole Bible. It is a scandalous story. It's a shameful story. It's a story that we're not positive our children should be allowed to hear. A woman who sleeps with strange men and gives birth to illegitimate children. That's scandalous. It's an embarrassing story because we're going to find that this isn't a story about a woman. This is a story about the people of God. That's a story about us. It's a beautiful story, even though it is devastating in its own way. This story is guaranteed to destroy any pride that we might have about ourselves, in ourselves. But it's a story that leads us out of the devastation of our pride into this, the wonderful joy of the gospel. And I'm convinced that if we're going to be churches that are vibrantly proclaiming the gospel, vibrantly engaged in our community, we're going to need to be people who get this truth. Or we're, in a sense, going to be playing at gospel ministry and playing at gospel living. We'll have the accoutrements, but the beating heart of it and the power of it won't be there. It's essential that we understand this story, this gospel. In order to understand the story and really the scandal of it, we need to just step back to Hosea's day. Hosea is a prophet of God, and he is sent to minister to Israel, the northern 10 tribes, in a time of great material prosperity. They're doing very well materially, and yet they are they're a disaster spiritually. They are apostatizing. They are idolatrous. They are engaged in the worship of the pagan nations around them. Worship that was incredibly perverse. And so Hosea is sent to these people as God's prophet. And the Lord gives him this most stunning of commands. Go, take to yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom. It's a scandal because Hosea, as a prophet of God, is defined by godliness. Hosea is a man of impeccable moral character, a man who's committed himself to the cause of God, to the message of God. He is defined by godliness. And Gomer is at the complete opposite end of the moral spectrum. We are much more comfortable with sexual sin. Because we live in a sexually perverse culture. It's not as shocking to us. But in cultures where honor matters, sexual sin is a deeply scandalous, grievous, shocking sin. And Gomer is a prostitute in Israel. It's possible she was a temple prostitute. We don't know for sure if she was working in the pagan temples. But she's a woman who is an Israelite, born and raised most likely in a covenant home, and yet had decided at some point to sell her body and her beauty to get material things that she wanted. She's unfaithful, deeply. And so you have two people at the moral, at the opposite ends of the moral spectrum. And God says to Hosea, the man identified with heaven and holiness, marry Gomer, the prostitute whose steps lead directly to hell. It's a stunning, shocking development. Imagine a young man of this church who everyone respects, everyone admires, everyone believes great things are in store for him. And imagine that young man coming home married to a brazen prostitute. It's a shocking story. The marriage is so inappropriate that John Calvin, you maybe have heard of him, John Calvin is convinced that it didn't really happen. This is one of the times I read, you know, Calvin, and I just laughed out loud. Listen to what he says. There is no doubt that this is a vision, for they are too gross in their notions who think that the prophet married a woman who had been a harlot. It was then only a vision. I suppose the children were visions then as well. This is not a vision. Why would Calvin say that? Because it's a scandal. It's an absolute scandal. He's wrong in his remarks, but he's exactly right in his reaction. In the name of all that's good and right, there is no way that Hosea should be married to her. What fellowship does light have with darkness? This marriage is an offense. So why does God command him to do it? And the text tells us why God commands him to do it. Verse 2 of chapter 1, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord. You see, God is calling Hosea as he enters into this marriage with Gomer. God wants Israel to see the reality of their relationship with him. This is what their marriage looks like. A loving, holy, righteous God and an adulterous, whoring wife. Israel is Gomer. And again, the scandal, you see, then explodes because that means that God is married to a harlot. God is in covenant union with a woman of whoredom. And that's the point of the story. God is faithful, and He's bound to a faithless people committing spiritual adultery with any pagan god around that they think maybe can give them the material success that they desire. Israel is a whore, and God is her wife, her husband. But the scandal gets worse. The marriage starts out okay, it seems. Gomer conceives and bears him a son. That's in those days, that's a very good sign. It's a sign of the blessing of God. And they name him Jezreel. And God's going to do things through Jezreel. God owns Jezreel in a special way. But the other two children are great heartache. The daughter is given a very troubling name, Lo-Ruhamah, no pity, no mercy. The third is not my people. The text seems to suggest strongly that these two are not Hosea's. The text says she bore him a son. When it comes to child number two and three, it just says she conceived. In fact, when Hosea has to name the third, and people ask, what's his name? Hosea's answer is, not mine. It's a humiliating situation. It's a scandal all the way through. And it gets worse. Because in chapter 3, verse 1, we read, God says, go again and love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress. And it's the word again that exposes the scandal here, because again means that Gomer has once again abandoned the marriage. That Gomer is once again back on the streets, back in the lifestyle where he first found her. That's what go again means. If you've ever been deeply betrayed by someone, you sense the offense here. If someone that you were close to has betrayed you, wounded you profoundly, you made maybe a secret vow to yourself, I will never allow myself to be that vulnerable with that person ever again. There will be no more agains in that relationship. And yet God says to Hosea, go again, the husband, go again and love this woman who is loved by another man and who is an adulteress. God knows exactly what He's commanding. And so Hosea goes under the command of God to the part of town where godly men should not go. And he asks questions a godly husband should never have to ask. He's asking strange men, have you seen my wife? You know where Gomer is. When he finds her, she's a slave. She's in bondage to someone. Maybe her pimp, maybe a temple, we don't know. Many think that Hosea found her on the auction block. It's the most wretched of scenes because slaves were sold naked so that the buyers could see what they were getting. And that seems to be what God suggests in chapter 2, verse 10, where God says about Israel that I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers. It's very possible that Gomer is exactly experiencing that judgment. But Hosea is there not to ridicule, not to shame. He's there to redeem. Verse 2, so I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a lethek of barley. And here we see the incredible beauty of the grace of God. The grace, the lavishness of this grace is seen in the price that Hosea paid. We know from the scriptures that the price of a female slave is set, it was fixed, at 30 shekels. That's Leviticus 27, verse 4. So according to the law of God, that is the price that you pay for a female slave. We also know what the price of barley was, because that's also fixed in that society. Again, according to the law of God, Leviticus 27, 16, a homer of barley seed shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. A lethek is half a homer. So what you have is a homer and a half. That's 50 plus 25. You have 75 shekels then in grain, 15 shekels in cash, equaling 90 shekels. In other words, three times the price required by law. This is the lavishness of the grace of God, the lavish mercy of the goodness of God for sinners, for really vile sinners. I want you to imagine what that communicated to Gomer as she's there in the midst of her shame, in the devastation of her life. And yet her husband, the one person she sinned against more than anyone else in the whole world, her husband comes and honors her by paying three times what would the set price. The men around would scoff and laugh. And buys her and then brings her home. He's not just rescuing her from her plight to leave her then along the side somewhere or to maybe give her over to a caring relative. He takes her into the home and renews his covenant vow. I said to her, verse 3, you must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore or belong to another man, and so will I also be to you. He's renewing the marriage vow. This woman who he had was married to, and she had children with other men, and then went back to the streets, and now he's taking her back and pledging himself to be faithful to her. That is the glory of God's ways. So we see in chapter 2, excuse me, 2 verse 16, in that day declares the Lord, you will call me my husband, and no longer will you call me my Baal, for I will remove the names of Baals from her mouth, and they shall be remembered by name no more. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in steadfast love, in mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. Friends, that's the greatest gift God could ever give. To know God is life. To know God is joy. To know God is peace. God doesn't have a greater gift to give than intimate communion and knowledge of God. It is what you were created for. And God promises this as a free gift to a woman who had thrown it all away over and over and over again. One of the things I love about this story is how Hosea then points us to a greater Hosea. A Hosea in the Hebrew, it's the same letters that we use for the name Joshua or Jesus. God chooses an Old Testament prophet called Hosea, Savior, to redeem Gomer, to buy her back from her sin, and to show the truth of what God is going to do in a greater Hosea who's going to come and do exactly the same thing, except much more beautifully and profoundly. This is not an accident that this man's name is Hosea. So when we think about the gospel as it's explained here, as it's revealed here, we recognize that Jesus is precisely what Hosea was. Jesus bound himself before the foundation of the world, bound himself to a people, not a holy people, not a well put together, nicely dressed, basically decent group of folk. He bound himself to Gomers, the people who were lost in sin, because when Jesus claimed those people before the foundation of the world, he agreed to purchase them, to redeem them, to go and claim them at the cost of his own blood. And so he came in the fullness of time, came to the wrong side of the law, came to the degradation of our sin and our guilt, a place where judgment reigns. And there, when we were enslaved in sin, Jesus claimed us. Jesus bought us. We've been purchased with his very own blood. Ephesians 1 verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. Jesus is the greater Hosea, and he's come for Gomer, and it is a scandal. When Jesus was carrying out his ministry, do you remember what the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they charged him with this? Why do you hang out with prostitutes? Why are you friends with tax collectors? Why do you allow people to come near you, sinners, to touch you? And Jesus responded to them from the book of Hosea. From the book of Hosea. He said to them, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. That's Hosea 6:6. They would be able to make the connection. These were men who knew their Bibles. And then Jesus proceeds to say, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus could not have been more clear in his response to them, telling them, I'm here for Gomer. I've come for Gomer. Just like Hosea. The message we need to hear and understand and really soak in, because West Michigan is a hard place to preach the gospel. And that's because so many people in West Michigan have heard the gospel. And they assume the gospel, and the gospel doesn't seem that amazing anymore. You look around and we're well dressed. We're pretty nice people. The gospel sort of becomes a message of a loving God who cares for good people and was willing. We sin, and so he sent Jesus, and Jesus will forgive you. And that's true. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, perfectly holy, willingly left all the glory that rightfully belonged to him and the fellowship he had with the Father. And he came to this world knowing exactly what he was getting into, knowing exactly what sin means and what we are like. He had no illusions about you or about me. When he took your name and claimed you as his own. And the gospel, you see, is that Jesus then goes to people who are under the bondage of their sin. People who have sold themselves to sin and to death. People who rightfully deserve the judgment of God. We've earned it. And people who, like you and me, are truly Gomers. How many of you weren't born and raised in a Christian home? Most of you were. And how many of you didn't, as you came into your teenage years, experience the reality of your sin and the flesh and the world and the devil? And maybe you decided to go and sow your wild oats and test it for a while. And then God had grace on you and brought you to your spiritual senses. And you professed faith in Jesus Christ. And you joined the church. And then a temptation comes along. An opportunity. And you find yourself going back to the sins of the past. Back to the pride. Back to the lust. Back to the coveting. The anger, the greed. You just slide back. You see, Jesus came for people who, like Gomer, know better, and yet we go back. Have experienced grace, and yet we go back. Aren't you glad that Jesus comes to Gomer's? Aren't you glad that God is willing to come again and again and again? Aren't you glad that you can call on the name of the Lord when you find yourself exactly where you never wanted to be again? And you can call on the name of the Lord and trust that God loves to rescue Gomers? That God loves to rescue sinners? You see, this is the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. We get to own the truth. Paul, the man who was in every regard, at least in the eyes of the law, a righteous man, threw it away. It's just rubbish to him. He said, what he boasted in was, Jesus Christ died for sinners, of whom I am chief. And that's the gospel. That's a gospel that has the power to transform your life, because that's a gospel that will break down your pride, and that's a gospel that will show you the grace of God as maybe you've never seen it before. That's a gospel that will give you a taste for the love of God. who came to you in your lost, desperate, wicked estate and redeemed you with the blood of his son. How can we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? Let's lay hold of that gospel. I want to encourage you to pray for your pastor that he preaches that gospel. I want to encourage you to live in that gospel. I want to encourage you to continue to be a church defined by that gospel that we are. We're Gomer. We're Gomer. But we've been bought by Jesus. We belong to Hosea. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God in heaven, I thank you for Jesus. We would be utterly, eternally lost without him. I thank you that Jesus is willing to come for Gomer. Because, Lord, if you had only come for the righteous, there would be no hope for me. There would be no hope for us. I thank you for the glory and the scandal of this gospel. Oh, Father, I thank you that you are willing to marry your son to people like us. And I thank you, O God, that you do not leave us in that condition, but you take us to yourself and you bring us into covenant and you take the word, the name of Baal, out of our lips. And tonight, Lord, we ask that you would please do that. Take away our idolatries. Take away our love of sin. I pray that we would be captivated by Jesus Christ and committed to knowing him and loving him all the days of our life. Until we see him face to face, we pray it. Amen.